Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the Ferris Love Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Grace, and today we're looking back at several episodes that I consider hidden gems from season 4 and season 5. These episodes are ones where you shared your love by sending us an email telling us what you thought of them and encouraged us to reach out to these speakers to have them on our show. So thank you so much for your involvement. If you have a guest or a topic that you'd like to hear about in season 6, please send us an email at info@ferrislovefamilyproject.org and we will be sure to try to have those people on our show. The first episode that we're going to take a look back at is called Beauty Through the Lens of the World, and it was with Grace Galligan. And Grace is a photographer and filmmaker, and we kind of experimented with this monthly theme of beauty and how families could incorporate it into their homes and lives. So we had some artists on the show. We had a couple of photographers. But Grace was such an awesome guest, and she shared a lot of cool ideas and details about film and photography. And then we had one listener comment about how they were particularly moved by a video that Grace had mentioned that was a film about a ballet school in Uganda. And so in the following clip, I asked Grace how parents can find and capture beauty in their own family lives.
How do you anticipate those moments? Like, how do you bring more beauty into, let's say, a scene of film? Like, are there certain elements that you like look for when you're capturing those moments?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mary Grace. I think all photography and video really, really comes down to light. And even if you think of just like the engineering side of it, like your camera is responding to light and darkness. And so without those two elements, you can't really have either. So I think when it comes to like deciding whether or not I'm going to take a photograph of that moment or video, I would say that is more nuance. But if you're just talking about capturing a moment, whether it's photo or video, really, really paying attention to, like, say you're outside, like, where's the sun? And over time, like, I've learned, you think, oh, the sun is on someone's face, I'll shoot from this side and it'll capture their face fully lit up and it'll be beautiful. But you'll find, like, in the middle of the day and the sun's on someone's face, like, they're squinting, their face is really flat and there's no depth. You can't get that like feeling. So I've learned, like, especially through like my film experiences really shaped my photography in terms of like so many beautiful film moments are shot like backlit or where like there's the sun kind of coming into the lens. Just like really, really, like, even if it feels like the light is not working in your favor, like your skills over time can really help kind of like not fight with it, but like almost dance with the light in a way. Seriously. Like, I know it sounds funny to say, but like, especially if you're like running around a playground with, full of kids, you're like, it's so chaotic. What am I going to do? Like, it's just like, no, like, just know where the sun is in the sky and look for moments and everything will kind of start to like shape around there. And not being afraid to like make mistakes and say like, okay, like I was in the wrong spot at that moment, but I'll move and then, it'll come. So being patient with yourself and
The next hidden gem is a podcast called Self-Surrendering Service with Blake Brulé from Christ in the City. And if you hadn't had a chance to listen to this episode with Blake, I highly recommend it and also encourage your high school and college-aged kids to do the same. Blake's story and mission of Christ in the City is so inspirational. And there was one particular moment that I was very moved by, and that was when Blake had talked about or mentioned the idea of measuring success with their mission in serving the homeless. And I just encourage you to take a listen to what he had to say about that in the following clip.
At the same time, we don't go to the streets thinking that success is ending homelessness, or if I'm only successful if I take this person off the streets, right? Because like, look how selfish that is of like, I take them off the streets, or if I pray with them, right? It's like, No, like the mode of success is given to us by Mary, our mother, and St. John at the foot of the cross. And we use this in our trainings and just our almost like MO of how we approach the streets. And when you look at Mary and John at the foot of the cross, Jesus in his darkest moment, right? The moment of greatest suffering, his darkest moment. There was almost no one there for him. And there was absolutely nothing Mary and John could do to ease his pain. Nothing. There was no words, right? We always think when we're serving others, like, this person's suffering, I just need to say the right thing. That's not what Mary and John did, right? They just were with our Lord, just with him, present, fully present. They didn't do anything. They didn't say anything. They just were. They were just with our Lord. And I just, you know, imagine, I who knows if it happened, but I just imagine there was a moment where our Lord was just able to open his eyes, even just a little, and just saw his mother and John just attentive to him, just there at the foot of the cross, and realizing like, that's the model. Like, you know, if we believe our suffering crucified Lord is in the poor, is in every one of us in these moments of pain, the model of service to them that has been given to us by the Gospels, by Mary, John, our Lord, is being fully present, fully aware. And in our trainings, I like to say, imagine if like Mary and John were just chatting with the guards, right? Like imagine if they were chatting with the guards or just trying to come up with and saying just superfluous things to our Lord of like, oh yeah, it's okay, Jesus. Like it honestly, it's like, right? It like makes us like, it's kind of disgusting. And realizing like, that's what we're called to do when we go to the streets. It's like, we don't need to come up with some eloquent, beautiful testimony or, you know, fervorino or anything like that. We just need to be present and attentive to the person in front of us. And of course we have success metrics and everything like that, but our success metrics aren't what you'd think, right? It's like, did we know, love, and serve? And not worth getting into those, but just this reality of like, success was given to us by Mary and John at the foot of the cross. And what a simple thing, right? Like it's not, that's not revolutionary. Like that's not possible. Everyone, no matter their state of life or vocation, can do that.
Another one of our hidden gems was the episode titled Overcoming Stress and Anxiety with Dr. Mario Sacasa. This one also was another really practical and important episode because Dr. Sacasa speaks with such charity and understanding. We have loved having him on the show so much that he also appeared on our After Cana podcast to discuss dating. So be sure to check that out on our website or wherever you listen to podcasts. So in the following clip, I was curious about what his thoughts were on this idea of wounds and how we can overcome them. And I thought his response was very enlightening and helpful for anyone who feels like they have wounds or do not.
There are gradations in terms of what pain does and how it impacts our nervous system. And therefore it impacts the different modalities that we use. Trauma absolutely exists. There's no doubt about it. That nervous system can shut down and it can experience so much pain that it shuts down or it can begin to disassociate. Or it can begin to forget whatever that is. I understand that. I'm a therapist. But we all have hurt in life. We all have hurt in life. And as a therapist, there's a fine balance between wanting to find that hurt, identify where it's coming from, but not getting stuck there. And I think sometimes the wounds language creates this mentality where we get stuck within that pain and we begin to over-identify with it. Mm. And that's not the goal. The goal of therapy is to be able to see it, understand it, but then how does it apply to what's happening in the here and now? And what are the behaviors that I've begun to adopt in response to that are impacting me in the here and now? And so how then do I start shifting my behaviors in a different way that's going to lead me to a better end? Because the truth is that even those hurts, oftentimes like they're there for a reason. Okay, so example, like a kid who hears his parents arguing and runs upstairs and hides in the closet because he doesn't want to be surrounded by that. Mm-hmm. Well, that kid's doing the right thing. I mean, like that's he's doing a protective mechanism that is actually good for him in that. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be in that environment where he's hearing the parents scream. Mm-hmm. Now, if that kid grows up and then he develops some type of avoidant tendency in marriage where his spouse, anytime his spouse yells, he wants to get away from the room. Okay, there's the problem. The problem is that now his environment has shifted and the way that his nervous system has been wired has to be readapted to the new environment where we can coach him and help him to now be able to sit within a situation where somebody's yelling and he can be present there. Mm-hmm. If we just fixate on the wound per se, then he can be over-identifying with just being that kid locked in the closet. I want him to get out of that closet. I want him to get out of that identity and be able to see that he has agency. He has capacity. He has life before him, that God is still shaping him and molding him. And that, yes, this is part of his story. We come and we have to accept that, but let's get to a place of willingness to be able to start making some changes to what's going on now and how this story is impacting us now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that secondary piece that gets lost so much in this wounds language, that it's just a fixation on going back, focusing, mm-hmm. focusing. And like I said earlier, overthinking isn't the answer. And then we can unintentionally get stuck within a rumination as I'm overthinking about that. Well, if that isn't the wound, I thought that that was the thing that was supposed to unlock the reasons that my behavior has changed now. But if that isn't it, then is there another one? And it becomes this endless trap of going back, over and over again, mm-hmm. and never actually encouraging somebody to take the steps that they need to take in the here and now, in the present, to take that information, do the processing, learn, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But take that and then let's apply this to now. Let's apply this in the context of your life and let's get moving with what God has for us in today's day and age.
Another hidden gem is the importance of good books and reading as a habit with Marcy Stockman. This is such a solid episode if you're looking for some inspiration to begin building that habit of reading for yourself or with your children. Marcy is the founder of The Well-Read Mom, and she shares how that group has helped women build community, but also approach the deeper themes of life. And so in the following clip, Marcy shares some powerful stories about how reading has affected a number of her book club attendees.
And do you notice, as you have these groups and you're actually, you know, really working with moms in that sense, like, do you notice there's certain needs within mothers and within their family lives, and that these books and that what you bring to the Well-Read Mom, do you notice that has an effect on those needs?
Well, that's a good question. I'm thinking of a woman from Indiana. She came up to me and she said, "I've been a Well-Read Mom a year now." And I mm-hmm. said, "Oh, great. You know, what have you noticed?" And she thought for a moment. She's like, well, I guess I would have to say my relationship with my 14-year-old daughter has improved. Mm-hmm. I said, "Really? You know, tell me more. Which book helped?"
Yeah.
She said, it's not any one book, I guess. It's reading these kind of books mm-hmm. that has made me kind of grow in my capacity to stay with her at this time mm-hmm. in her life, to kind of maybe see her perspective with a greater capacity to stay with her. So that's what literature does. It increases our capacity for empathy, to walk in another's shoes, to live in a world bigger than our own, in a sense, you know, and to grow in wisdom, the possibilities there. So that was a real blessing. And we hear that a lot, you know, that relationships improve marriages. It's helped marriages, which is kind of crazy because it's not what we're just setting out to read good literature together. People have come into the church, which is also a blessing. My daughter, we read Dracula this year, which, to tell you the truth, it wasn't my favorite. Yeah. I was like, why? But, you know, I don't like every book we choose, and I'm glad I read it. But my daughter, a lot of women loved it. Mm-hmm. And my daughter was telling me that she had her group that night. She was in the grocery store and ran into a neighbor from a few years ago who had moved, but they met in the grocery store. And this woman is an atheist. And they got to talking about what they were reading. And Beth said, I just finished our Wayward Mom groups reading Dracula, and she was reading Dracula too. And Beth said, why don't you come to our group? So she came to their group. And, you know, we have a companion that goes with our program that is, I can't even believe how excellent it is for quality and how it helps guide us. Talking about the author and a closer look on the particular, each particular book, a closer look, why we chose this book, what we're looking at with the theme. And, and then we encourage the women to look at their own experience and as they read the literature, kind of compare it with their heart. And so it's not a book club where you try and find, you know, or literary analysis. You're looking and comparing it with your own life and trying to see something new. And so it's a bit of a different method than a lot of book clubs. But anyway, back to this woman comes to the book club, and she sees these questions we have about evil and goodness and about questions about the Eucharist, because there's some of that in Dracula. And she starts saying, well, she asks questions about evil or what is the Eucharist? And you really, and so they have this discussion about the faith and about good and evil and truth and why there were concerns with Dracula, with, you know, so anyway, it ended up being a moment of beauty and dialogue that was a surprise with someone in the community. And that kind of thing happens over and over again. So that's interesting to me.
While those were just a few of our hidden gems, there are so many episodes that we've done in the past that you might connect with or learn something new from. If there was an episode that was particularly moving to you, please share with us by sending us an email at info@ferrislovefamilyproject.org. And like we said earlier, if you have a guest that you want to hear from or a topic that you're just dying to know more about, please go ahead and send that as well to that email. And we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much for your support and for listening to the Ferris Love Podcast.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.